What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of Darren, Donick, and Chase. We're coming at you today from Pete and Terry's Tavern next to the Sobro entrance to Bridgestone Arena, which means there is hockey tonight in Smashville. It is the Nashville Predators hosting the San Jose Sharks, game three of a four-game homestand to start the season. Nashville at 1-1. The Sharks coming in at 0-3. We're going to talk a lot about that game throughout the day. And we want to just put it out there right away that we have tickets to this game
to give away. Tickets.
But you got to come by Pete and Terry's Tavern and drop your name in the hat. Between now and 12:45, we also have another pair at 1:45. So come on in. Grab some lunch if you want. We have the lunch specials that we always have. Good deals.
A burger and a beer for $12.50.
Yep. And you do not have to be present when we draw the tickets. So if you get here a little bit early, you can leave, and we'll put your tickets at will call when you win.
And if you register, if you come in and you register right now, we have drawings at 12:45 and 1:45 in this show, but then Jared and the GM will draw at 3:45 and 4:45. All you got to do is put your name in the hat. Yeah. You're eligible for all of it.
Yeah, so you got four chances if you get here before 12:45. So
just got to do
playing the percentages. We've been talking about that a lot on the show, right? Going for it on fourth down, and as opposed to kicking the field goal, when to pull the goalie in hockey, when to bunt, when to not bunt, when to steal. It's all about playing percentages, Chase. And last I checked, I was not a math major, but if you get your name in the hat before 12:45, four chances to win is better than 3, 2, or 1.
It is. It is true. So come on down here. Say hi to us. You can have some lunch. And register to win some tickets.
All right. So, Chase, it was a big day, and as I said, at 10:15.
We missed you yesterday.
We're going to talk. I did. We had the Nashville Sports Council had their face-off luncheon, and so hosted that down in the Lexus Lounge with Chris Mason. Had a great time. David Poile, Peter Laviolette. By the way, David Poile will join us today from here at Pete and Terry's at 11:15, our first of our weekly discussions with him. We'll get his thoughts on tonight's game and how he thinks the team has looked so far. That will always be informative, and that is every Tuesday at 11:15 is our weekly chat with him. Derek Mason, head coach for Vanderbilt, our weekly chat with him at 1 o'clock. They've got a lot to sort out for sure. Mitch Light will join us during the noon hour for his weekly discussion with college football. We're going to talk a lot about the hockey game tonight in our next segment. But yesterday, Chase, I know you were on the edge of your seat. I watched pieces of four different baseball games. It was a baseball fan's delight yesterday with the playoffs going on. The intensity was outstanding, and the best game of the day for sure was the Braves and the Cardinals in terms of the drama. The Braves were four outs away from closing the series out, and to be honest, they got a little unlucky, right?
Yeah.
In the eighth inning where the Braves lead 4-3, they get the first out. They make a pitching change, which was interesting. A tough call. This is why you have shows like this. Because Brian Snitker took out a guy in Tomlin that had retired four straight. It had no problem at all. The two best hitters for the Cardinals were coming up, Paul Goldschmidt and Marcelo Ozuna. And they went to Chad Green.
Yeah.
With one out in the eighth inning. Yes. Green throws a good pitch, broken bat. The bat breaks into pieces, but Goldschmidt hits it down the line for a double. And then the one that really hurt, was after he got Marcell Ozuna for the second out.
Yadier Molina,
a bloop hit that Freddie Freeman almost caught. It was not a well-hit ball. Neither one of them.
No.
Both times, Green, what are you going to do? He made his pitch. He made a good pitch. Weak contact, but he gives up two hits, and the Cardinals tie the game.
Do you think Snitker made the right move of – I mean, I know you're in a position to try and, you know, pad your lead, so he pinch hit, but do you think Tomlin should have gone back out? Because Tomlin was pitching so well that I was thinking, okay, you could get a couple of innings out of him.
Yeah, well, they did bring him out for the second inning.
That's right. He pitched
the seventh.
That's right.
Brought him back out for the eighth, and he got the first guy out.
And then they went
to Chad Green to face the two toughest hitters.
So you can tell that I'm still distraught over this whole
thing. Well, I mean, that was one of those games where a lot goes on, right? The Braves had so many chances. They couldn't get the big hit. The Cardinals had interesting things. I mean, the Braves have been all over Carlos Martinez in the series, and yet they still went to him.
Right.
And they lived to tell about it. I thought for sure the Braves were going to get to him again when Acuna got the leadoff double in the top of the ninth or the top of the ninth.
And it really, if it hadn't been a ground rule double, it would have been probably a triple. I mean, he would have easily gotten to third. The thing that drove me nuts is they load the bases twice, don't get anything out of it, and then Acuna gets all the way to third and they can't bring him home. And he got on base with no outs. That's just
tough.
You're not going to win baseball games.
And it's Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman up there with no outs.
But Freddie Freeman has just not been very good, and it's scary because he's usually captain clutch.
But it's interesting that it's what the beauty of baseball is.
Yeah.
Until you've taken the lead, you haven't, right?
Right.
But it is frustrating. That is, they put up a stat yesterday: most strikeouts through two games in a series by any team in the history of the game. Every one of them for a team was since 2013.
Right.
And all but one of them were since 2017. So the rising rate of strikeouts, the pitchers are good.
Yeah.
The hitters really don't adjust, but I will say this. It is hard to put the ball in play against Andrew Miller, right? Especially lefty on lefty. But it was disappointing to have your best hitter up there, bases loaded, now out, and not get anything.
Mike Foltynewicz will pitch Game 5 for the Atlanta Braves, so...
Is it Flaherty for the Cardinals?
I haven't seen what the Cardinals are going to do, but yeah, Flaherty.
I have to believe it's Flaherty, right? And that's tomorrow, so they do get the day off.
And they've moved the start time of that game to it'll be 4:02 Central Time. Let's see if I leave here, right?
You'll be in Dalton, Georgia.
I told Ryan Porath last night. I said, "Listen, if Darren McFarland wasn't out with getting his knee fixed, you best believe I would be in Atlanta for Game 5. But
yeah. By the way, Darren McFarland, as we speak, going under the knife for the meniscus procedure to repair the tear.
Yeah.
Should
be a quick
surgery. Hopefully a quick surgery, and hopefully not out long, but we are keeping him in our thoughts today.
Yes.
And Pete Weber has suggested sending milkshakes to the to the hospital room where he is right now. That's a pretty good idea when you get down to it.
I think a milkshake would make him feel better, for sure.
Yeah. So the Nationals also force a Game 5. So the National League has two winner-take-all games tomorrow, which will be great drama, especially between games for the Predators. That's good for me because I get a chance to sit back and watch both of them. I love games like that. I give full marks to the Nationals for coming back in and getting back into the series after being down two games to none. Ryan Zimmerman, longtime National, the senior member of the team, hits a big two-out, three-run homer to turn that game around and give them the cushion that they needed. Max Scherzer came through for them, seven tough innings. The Yankees have advanced against the Twins. Not easy to sweep a team that won 101 games, but the Yankees look like they've got it going.
I hate that because the Twins were one of those teams that you kind of jumped on with, like, hey, had such a good season. You like that group, but the Yankees are just a buzzsaw.
Their lineup is so tough.
It was going to be tough for them. The Nats are trying to ruin your Friday night plans because you're going on the road with the Preds. You're going to be in L.A. You know, that game one would probably be Friday night.
Yeah, we have some logistical issues, but we have looked at the fact that there could be a game at Dodger Stadium on Friday night. And that would be exciting to go to, but the Dodgers have to win one more game here.
Right.
So, wow. And finally, the Rays stay alive. They actually had a pretty good crowd. They opened up other areas of the stadium. I think they announced around 32,000, which is close to filling the seats that they had available.
Yeah.
You'd love to see more. I think they could have sold more. But at least they had a little something, right? The fans that were there, they had all the gold towel waving, and they jumped all over Zach Greinke to stay alive. Now they get to face Justin Verlander. This is fun, right?
Yeah.
The Astros coming at you with three incredible aces. But the Rays will try to, that's the one game going on today, try to stay alive for the Rays.
Yeah, it's look, that was a fun game to watch yesterday. We had it on during the show, and it started, you know, with about an hour or so left in our show, and the Rays get on them early and you know, just start chipping away and then end up taking a big lead. So good for that home crowd that they're going to get two games at least, and well, I guess two games is what they would get, but see if they can force a game five and go from there. But facing Verlander is going to be tough.
That won't be easy, for sure.
I don't know about
that. But here's the thing about the Rays. The Twins winning 101 games in the Central is one thing, where there's, you know, some teams that are completely rebuilding and tanking,
right,
whatever you want to say. The Rays won 97 games in the AL East, where, yeah, you have the, do have the Orioles at the bottom, but you have some good teams in there. They have got a ton of arms that you've never heard of, but they just keep coming at you with one guy after another. They go, who is this guy? And he's throwing 99. He's got some wicked curve. You know, they've got the no-name pitchers that can shut you down. So I give them a chance. I give them a chance today, but we'll see. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to tonight's hockey game, and then at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk some Titans. I didn't get a chance to really share my thoughts yesterday because I was doing the event, and I'm sure the show was a spicy one yesterday. We might even do some roll call later just to see the feelings of all the football fans of the various teams, because morale might be a little low.
Yeah.
So that might be coming up a little bit later in the show. But when we come back, we'll break down Predators and the Sharks. It's on NBC tonight. And, of course, we'll have our radio coverage starting at 6 o'clock on 102.5 The Game. And, of course, Pete Weber, Hal Gill have the call at 7 o'clock. Stay tuned. We're live from Pete and Terry's. Come on by. Drop your name in the hat. You can win tickets for tonight's game. Grab some lunch and listen to Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And now the Red Wings break back up ice. Here's Glendening. The shot to score! Glendening had the puck caught around by his skates, and that caused some problems for UC Saros, and he got enough on it to lift it up over him for the 4-3 Detroit lead at 9:24 of the third period.
We're back at Pete and Terry's Tavern. You are listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase. Normally, we are live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Willie and Chase here with you. Darren, under the knife as we speak. We will get you an update as soon as we can.
We need updates.
We need updates.
We might have to send somebody to the hospital to provide updates.
And bring a shake.
Pete Weber is advocating that you take milkshakes and not flowers.
Yeah. In lieu of flowers, yeah.
In lieu of flowers, take milkshakes.
I think it would be much more well received.
I think it's an outpatient procedure, so he'll be home tonight.
Yeah, he should be all right. That's.
I mean, it's so funny because he's been telling people about this procedure, and everyone has been like, "Oh, you'll be on your feet within 24 hours." I mean, it's a piece of cake.
Yeah.
So
hopefully this will help. Meanwhile, we were not only discussing Darren downstairs, Chase, before, as the media gathered for this morning skate that's going on. You heard the call by Pete there, a tough loss to the Red Wings. It's just a puzzling thing. The Red Wings, everything that can go wrong seems to go wrong when the Predators play the Red Wings. Once again, if you look at the overall chances, the overall shot attempts, all that stuff, widely in the Predators' favor, but the opportunistic, and give the Red Wings full credit. They turned right around and beat the Stars the next night up in Detroit, and Anthony Mantha had another big game. But the Predators come up short against the Wings, and tonight you've got the San Jose Sharks. But one thing I am seeing, before we get to the Sharks part of this, Chase, because they've had an interesting start to the season as well, I do like the firepower that I'm seeing from the Predators. There's no question that they have the weapons to really go on the attack and take the game to the opponent. The question is going to be finding the balance, right? From, you know we have the horses, we're going to have our chances, but how do we make sure we're not leaving ourselves open the other way, getting too carried away? I do think that was part of what happened on Saturday. They got a little too aggressive, and the Red Wings countered, and they cashed in. And the goal you just heard, which was the winning goal, was the exact thing. Luke Glendening, who seems to play like Steve Yzerman when he plays against the Predators. He's a very ordinary player. He made a great play. He kind of grazed that shot off of UC Soros' mask. But I think that's probably the biggest emphasis that the Predators have right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Tyler Bertuzzi had a heck of a game as well.
Those guys, that first line, that is a legit excellent line. Bertuzzi, Larkin, and Mantha.
So I talked to Kyle Turris after the game, who I thought, even though they
played
lost,
a good game.
Kyle
Strong
Turris
game.
Had one of the best games I've seen him play in a long time.
Strong game. That whole line was really good.
Agreed. And I said to him, I asked the question in a, you tell me if I'm seeing something wrong. Like, I want you to explain this to me. But I feel like this season in two games, and even going back into the preseason, they are moving the puck much more. And it seems like it's crisp. It's faster pace. They're getting more chances on goal. They're registering, or they're getting more shots on goal. They're generating more chances. And he said, yeah, I mean, that's the offense that we're running now, that we're able to move it around and we're able to get the puck on net much more. Now, they weren't able to bury some of those chances. Three goals on the night. That top line with Matt Duchene, or I guess top line A, B, whatever you want to call it, with Matt Duchene continues to generate. But I really like what I'm seeing offensively out of the Predators right now, because I feel like this is a unit that they have the talent at forward that they can score more goals, that you can open up a Victor Arvidsson or a Philip Forsberg to really hone in on that talent. I mean, they both have two goals apiece. You know, it was, okay, who's going to be the first Predator to get 40? It could be both of them. And I know we got a long way to go, but they are both already tallying goals. So, it's a weird stat that Peter Laviolette is 1-10 against the Detroit Red Wings during his time with the Predators. If I would call you a liar if you told me that and I didn't know it already. Like, I'm floored by that. But sometimes there are some teams that you just struggle with for whatever reason, because of luck, or
it's hard to explain.
It's puck luck. That's what it is. And that puck the other night was bouncy. I mean, it was bouncing all over the place. And sometimes you get bad bounces, and that's what happened. Now they can turn it around tonight against San Jose. The power play does break through. They do score on
the power
play, which was
huge.
Good. And I asked Kyle Turris about that, even though it was the other unit that was out there, and he kind of laughed it off. Like, listen, we're done worrying about that. Like, we have confidence.
I agree with that approach.
I do too.
Think it's very fresh. You get different combinations of players, different concepts. You know, we were talking to AJ Molesko last week, and she said sometimes when you just restart, you got different people, different ideas. Everything resets, and that confidence starts over. I sense there's a lot more confidence right now within the room on that.
I never realized it at the time, just because I don't look at things as closely as even you would, being the play-by-play. But now with Dan Lambert and, you know, his system and how he's setting things up with only one defenseman, and then adding Matt Duchene, you're able to put Victor Arvidsson in his natural position. And so he's in the slot. He's on the hand that he should be shooting from. And everything just feels a lot better, and it's moving smoother. I mean, it's the way they're moving the puck around is just – it's fun to watch. And then you have Duchene hovering around the goaltender, and that's creating those chances. So I feel like that's a lot of it, and they have their confidence back. So that was good to see, and we'll see it again tonight against San Jose. I think Kyle Turris is right there on the door of scoring a goal. And once that happens,
chances.
I think that's going to be huge for him and his confidence. But I can tell he's a different Kyle Turris.
It looks promising, for sure. And when you have those four lines, I do think it's hard for other teams to account for all of them, right? If you say, all right, let's focus on stopping the first line, whatever you deem that line to be. Okay, well, we got to make sure we count for that second line as well. That's where Turris's line, you know, what do you have left? You better have some pretty good defenders to handle that line, because Turris, Grimaldi, they come at you. Cali Yarncrook, they had good chances. So that's how it's designed to work, And then Bonino's line is more of the checking line that should chip in some offense as well. Now, tonight, they're facing a team that's 0-3.
Which is dangerous.
Oh, my goodness, it's dangerous. I don't like this timing at all for how the Sharks come in here, because they're going to be about as desperate as you can be for the fourth game of the season. They've been ripped twice by their arch rival, Vegas. Mm-hmm. They also lost the game to the Sharks, to the Ducks, which I'm sure does not sit well with them. They get Evander Kane back tonight, who was suspended. So they will get a lift from that. I just think you're going to see a very focused team. It's going to take an excellent effort by the Predators to win this game tonight.
I like the focus of the Preds, though. I mean, even in the loss the other night, you know, you go in, you've been in the locker room after wins and losses. You know the difference. But the other night I was in there, and it's like, okay, they were down that they lost. They knew that they probably should have won that game, and they had a better team than Detroit. But it wasn't just this defeat, you know, of like just really down in the dumps. They're still very confident in their abilities, you know, through two games. I mean, it's only two games. It's a long way to go. And so I like the way they're playing right now. Got to see that tonight, to your point, because San Jose is going to be hungry. They don't like the position they're in, being down and haven't won a game yet. So it's a dangerous situation, but I like the Predators in these situations, especially as we've talked about throughout the offseason and training camp. There's something about this team right now. There is a vibe they're giving off that they know what they have, and they have this confidence. So I like them in those situations, and we'll see what they have tonight.
This will be, and this is no knock at the Wild or the Red Wings, but this will be, especially considering in the preseason, right?
Yeah, I know where you're going.
You don't play the Lightning when they have all the Lightning players in there. You don't have Carolina playing all their players. So this will be the best team that they have played all year long to this point, right? Same will be the case when Washington comes in there on Thursday. So I think this will be a night where the Predators are going to have to ratchet up. They're going to have good attention to detail, right? And as we said, you're going to get the absolute best that the Sharks have. They do have some guys banged up, the Sharks. But, again, the Sharks, they don't want to go 0-4, right? They're going to be ticked off. They had a ride over here all the way across the country, and they don't have – you know, they are going to be itching to get back out there and get their season going, because they are a talented team that is too good to be 0-3.
I'm going to be honest with you, though. I really like how this schedule is set up through the first five or six games for the Predators, because, you know, you start against Minnesota, that they're okay, but they're not great. And then Detroit, okay, not great. San Jose, good. Washington, pretty good. You know,
pretty good.
Very good. You have a mix of and then L.A., not very good. Vegas, pretty darn good.
Really good.
So you have a mix, and the reason I like that is because we've seen in the past that there have been times with this group that they play a weaker team, and they almost play down to their competition a little bit. Now that you kind of have it mixed up, you almost have to look at every game as like you're playing, you know, the Golden Knights, the Capitals, the Tampa Bay Lightning, the best in the league. And I understand that you're not going to be perfect every night. That's a part of playing 82 games.
Well, I think Juuse Saros would be the first to tell you that he was not as good as he can be on
Saturday.
He wasn't, but it was a combination of a lot of things. Yeah, he was victimized. There was a couple of bad bounces in there, but I think he definitely could have been better, just like everybody else. But I think
his defense could have been better in front of him, too.
So finishing what we started. Yeah, exactly. Well, I think I think the key is attention to detail. In particular, when they go on the attack, making sure they rotate back and don't give up odd man rushes back the other way, because we know San Jose will kill you if you let them do that. Now, San Jose, I think, will have a different attack too. I think they'll be more aggressive.
Well,
sometimes when you're
back.
Playing a team like the Red Wings that's a little short on weapons, they kind of hung back and said, "Okay, we're going to let you come at us some, but we're going to look for our chances. We're going to catch you," and that's exactly what the Predators fell into, and they weren't able to sort of outgun them. They easily could have won the game. They had so many chances to win the game anyway. And like I said, the numbers favored the Predators, except on the scoreboard.
Yeah. What do you think is more frustrating for a team, when you generate over 40 shots on goal and you lose, or you can't get a shot to save your life and you lose? You know what I mean?
It's much more frustrating to in the process of things. I think after maybe the initial, in the locker room, the feeling is probably the same. You lost.
Yeah.
But the next day, I think you feel better about, you know, we're doing the things that lead to wins.
Right.
Whereas if you're not doing the things to get chances, then I think you have more concern. Does that make
yeah.
Does that answer the question?
Right. Because, I mean, I'm gonna walk out and go, well, we lost, but we did things where we could have won. Whereas there's some games where you're garbage and you don't do things that you could win.
Right. So. And I think that's the mindset that the Sharks are in.
And I want to say this too, because I was watching Twitter yesterday and the news coming out of Pittsburgh that Malkin's going to be out for a long time, and everybody's like,
Nick Duke's dad as well. Two centers.
They're going to need a center. I am not moving a center off this team right now. I love the makeup of this team, so I don't even want to have that discussion because I really like what they got going.
And they're not out that long. It's not like if they were done for the season, then I do think Pittsburgh might be in a mode of.
Well, I still think I think they might look around.
But I'm with you right now.
I'm not moving anybody off this team right now.
All right, when we come back, we'll switch our attention to the Titans. And I'll give you some of my thoughts from the game on Sunday, and Chase can fill me in on some of the discussion yesterday. A lot to continue to analyze with this team. Stay tuned. We're coming back to Pete and Terry's Tavern here on the Sobro side, Darren Donick and Chase.
Mike, what would you say to the fans who, when you were hired, it was about raising the bar and raising the level, and see the inconsistencies and want to throw their hands up and say, this is the same old Titans? What would you say to those fans?
That we're working tirelessly to improve this football team each and every day. That when I come to work to the detriment of my family, I think about this team when I'm here, when I'm not here, that we're going to improve. That our goal is to improve every day, to put guys into positions, to coach these guys, to let them be in position to help the team and play with great effort, play with great fundamentals, but most importantly, win.
Mike Vrabel yesterday at the press conference, and after the press conference was over, as most of you know now, they did make a change at kicker. They released Cairo Santos, and it will be Cody Parkey.
According to reports,
that takes over.
They have not made that official yet, but...
And
also
that,
cut David Quesenberry.
Right. You know, sometimes the roster just gets squeezed. That's what
well,
happens there.
Well, I think what probably ends up happening, because last week they put David Flewellen on IR, so they only have two running backs on the roster. My guess is they had to cut Quesenberry because they had 11 offensive linemen. They will probably, my guess is, bring Dalen Dawkins back off the practice squad to have three running backs. And then, of course, sign reported to be Cody Parkey, known as the double doinker.
Yeah,
previously with the Bears.
Yep, that's a very interesting move. You got to take what's out there.
Yeah, what else is available?
So, you heard it yesterday. Mike Vrabel definitely pressed some in the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
I like that answer right there. It's not his fault that they decided to make the change from Mike Mularkey to him. Right, that's the job he was hired to do. I think he's doing the best he can. I think there's a lot of things that he does very, very well.
That's a really good point by you, because you know what? I haven't really thought about it that way before.
Yeah, it's not like he's been waiting in the wings, sitting
right
next to Amy Adams Strunk and saying, "Hey, I can do better." The job came open.
Yeah,
and he took the job.
And you know, he had the relationship with Robinson from their days in New England, and you know those connections. But you're right. I mean, it's not like he. At least I don't know this. I don't think he did this. Like, he picked up the phone and said, "Hey, you know, I played the Titans twice. I could be a better head coach. You know, hire me." I don't really think that's how it went. John Robinson felt that the system that was in place wasn't good enough, even after winning a playoff game, and they made a change. So you're right. And I think that Mike Vrabel has had to learn as time goes on. He's showing, though, that he doesn't have a lot of experience as a coach, and it's starting to show.
And there are a lot of games in this league, unless you are a juggernaut, and that is rare in this league. You just saw, I would consider among the teams that relatively are supposed to be juggernauts, the 4-0 Chiefs, just got beat on their home field by what
Indy,
I think is
yeah.
a pretty ordinary Colts team, but the Colts are very well coached. they do the little things.
Frank Reich.
They are really good at the little things. And Jacoby Brissett is not spectacular, but he is playing some smart, winning football. They are figuring out ways to win. That is, to me, the difference between where the Colts are and where the Titans are.
Yeah.
Right? And they have a head-to-head win to show for it. Right? The Titans are built to win. This is probably the biggest source of frustration I think I sense from Mike Vrabel. It certainly is the way I see it. I can't speak for him, of course. But they're designed to be able to win by running the ball, not turning the ball over, playing good defense, having really good special teams. And they've had two games. You know, I just think every now and then you're going to have a bad game. They had a bad game in Jacksonville, right? It was weird. It was raining. They didn't play well. The two other games they have lost have been on their home field against solid teams that aren't spectacular, but they beat the Titans at their own game,
right?
The field position game, the no turnovers. The Titans won the turnover battle in both of those games, and they come up empty, right? Because they didn't make field goals. That was the obvious, right? If they make all the field goals, then maybe we're talking about, hey,
I mean, they
nice
left,
win.
They left 12 points on the field.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if a guy should be expected to hit two field goals from 50 or more, right?
Sure.
One out of two would have been fine. But you got to make the other two. The 30-something field, you cannot miss those. Those cannot be missed.
And you have
and that's
to,
why he doesn't have a job.
I didn't blame Mariota for much yesterday, which I probably comes as a shock to you. But I really didn't think it was on him. But you do have to have some awareness of where the line of scrimmage is. And it was so close that it really could have gone either way. They ultimately
– I don't like the way that rule is interpreted.
Yeah.
How in the heck are you supposed to tell where he was
right
when he released the ball? And they were also very hazy on what is
release
the ball.
If a foot is behind the line, he's good, right?
The way that Gene Serator said it, is that if any part of his body is behind the line when he releases the ball, then he's good.
Right.
Now, the problem is he's running towards the line. He's got momentum going. He plants his foot right on the line of scrimmage.
Right.
So to me, that should be the rule. Because you can tell where a guy plants his foot. When a guy is in the air and the ball is being released, how in the heck do you know when he – especially, you don't have a camera on every yard line to look down the line. They did not have a good look at it.
And that was the problem.
And so that's why they
right.
So that's
because when
play.
When I watched it in real time, I was like, oh, he's past the line of scrimmage. That was my initial reaction. Like, he's past the line.
I think he probably was when the ball actually left his hand.
Yeah.
Just trying to deduce, right? Where is his foot when he plants it? Because when he plants the plant foot, the ball's still in his hand. But his momentum is carrying him forward. He lands, like if the line of scrimmage is the 11, he probably lands on the 9 because he's running and he jumps as he throws it. So it's reasonable to say by the time the ball leaves his hand that he's over the line. At least certainly not enough to overturn the original call. But to me, the rule should be where you plant your foot.
I agree. I would agree with that.
Because that's much more easy to assess if it's a reviewable play. I mean, if you're in the air and you don't have a camera right down the line, how in the heck are you supposed to review that?
I think that's a fair look.
So anyway, that they didn't catch it. They had some bad breaks in that game too. The holding penalty against Jack Conklin is in this day and age, it's what they're calling. So I see what they called, but is that you could call something on every play like that?
Which one are you talking about?
Well, the two plays before Derrick Henry scores.
Okay.
Right up the middle, touchdown. It's 14-7 Titans. You got all the momentum in the world. You're going to go win that game.
Right.
Holding on Conklin drives him back, and they still scored on Mariota.
And the first play of the game, they called the hold on Luan.
Right. And that one I had a problem with from Luan's perspective.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I think Taylor Luan, I know how badly he wants to come in there and do his thing and be a difference maker, but that is I put my forehead in my hand when I saw that play. Because he's right out in the open. He grabs the guy's jersey. There's no reason to do it.
Right.
No reason.
And
his guy is barely
to his
guy
credit.
Is not rushing. His guy is not rushing. The ball is in the air. The guy is trying to release to go after the running back that he thinks Mariota might be throwing to. Now, because there's a bad. I don't know if it was Lewis or Henry is leaking out for an outlet. That's where the guy was going, and Luan held him from trying to get out there.
And he admitted
no
it
reason
after,
to do
I mean,
that.
He went through the play after the game and explained exactly what he did. So I'll give him credit for that.
That's a bad play.
It is.
First play of the game.
It is.
And then not only that, he sprints down, which is good, good hustle. But then he does exactly what he did in that game, the Raiders game. He bowls the guy over after the whistle. He could have gotten a flag for that as well. So that and then comes out after the game. He didn't have a great game.
No.
Right?
And that was not a good return.
And I'm trying to give him some slack because, you know, he hasn't been able to practice, hasn't been with the team. You got to give him a little time. But then he's the one out in front of everybody saying we got to play better and this and that. I did not like that at all. Talk about hey, I need to do better. I'm going to get better. I've been away from the team. I hurt the team. But don't start talking about how everybody else needs to do better as well.
Right.
I didn't like that. I didn't think that played well.
Number one, in my mind, anyway. He wasn't the only one that said things like that. I mean, you're seeing frustration out of a lot of the
players, but he hasn't been there.
I know. I understand.
He did that to himself. He hasn't been there. He's been there for one game, and then starts talking about everybody's got to do better.
But the media knows that he's going to give an answer, so they're going to ask the question.
Sure, he does. But he can handle himself differently there.
He can't.
When you
but he
start
won't.
The game, when you're talking about we have to do the little things better, and you go out on the first play, and do that,
and then you get on Twitter and have a Twitter contest.
What is going on with that?
With Shaq Lawson,
that's not how you.
Well, I listened to Derek this morning. You know, Derek is going to be the mayor of the locker room. I mean, he knows how you should act, and he's like, dude, shut it down. You had a bad game. You did it to yourself.
Keep a low profile, not a call attention to yourself profile. I didn't like that.
I agree.
That is not what is needed at this time.
If you want to be a leader on this team, Taylor Lewan, these are the things that you're going to have to do better. I love that he's honest. I love that about him. I love that he will answer any question that is thrown his way. But you have to know what to say and when to say it. And I think sometimes he gets going and it's, you know.
Right.
Diarrhea of the mouth.
and that is his personality. I know he wants to win. His heart is in the right place.
Oh, of course
it is. But you got to use your head a little bit more because it rings hollow when you haven't been there.
Right.
What do you think his teammates thought when he was saying that? Well, where have you been?
Right.
You weren't here in the first
now,
month.
If Delanie Walker says it.
If somebody had been there for all 5 weeks, then I think that plays a little bit better. But
like,
he hadn't been there. And he shows up and he was not the best he could be, which he admitted. But I don't know. I just didn't think that was good. All right, we're going to talk more about the issues with the Titans when we come back. 10:44 is the time. Remember to come by here to Pete and Terry's Tavern on SoBro. We got tickets to the game, 4 giveaways. Just get here before 12:45. You can grab a little lunch if you want, but if nothing else, put your name in, and you'll have a chance to win. You do not have to be present to win the tickets. We'll put them at will call for you. Stay tuned. We're coming back. Back here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Chase McCabe here with you from Pete and Terry's Tavern. David Poyle coming up at 11:15. We'll talk Predators hockey with him on a weekly basis at that time. Don't forget ESPN 94.9 Game 2 not only has the baseball playoff games, but it's also the official radio English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club, Nashville SC. They take on Louisville at First Tennessee Park tonight. Pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7, only on ESPN 94.9 Game 2, powered by your Middle Tennessee Toyota dealers. All right, back to the Titans, Chase. The Titans have turned the ball over, correct me if I'm wrong, one time. That was the Adoree Jackson muff punt, correct?
That sounds right. I think so.
I don't believe they've lost a fumble other than that one. Mariota has not thrown
an interception. Did Derrick Henry fumble?
He fumbled, but I don't think they lost the fumble.
Yeah.
Right?
I think you're right.
So that's got to be incredibly frustrating.
Mariota has yet to throw an interception.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yep.
Not that he's been spectacular, but that has to really be gnawing at Mike Vrabel. So let's also put this in perspective. They are 2-3. A lot of the league right now is either 3-2 or 2-3, a huge percentage. But they've missed opportunities. But the season is not over. I think they have to be capable of doing better. I don't think they're playing anywhere close to as well as they can play. I still only see one major issue right now, and that is getting the offensive line together. Right? That is the biggest problem that they have right now is handling the pressure that teams are throwing at them. And the Bills have an excellent defense.
Yep.
The Jaguars have a tough front, and the line got dominated in both games. That's the biggest issue, I think, going forward.
And the biggest issue that you just said is leading to an overall issue. Because, as I said to Teron Davenport yesterday, I see this offense in three different parts right now. The offensive line, the skill position, and then the quarterback. And they're not all working as one collective unit, and it starts with the offensive line. Because Marcus Mariota, say what you want about him, he hasn't been spectacular, but he's been good. He's a one-read quarterback at times.
Yeah, he has limitations.
So he doesn't go through his progressions. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you give him time, I think he'll make any throw that you want him to make.
Yeah.
He will find any receiver, anybody, it doesn't matter, that you want him to find. But when he doesn't have time, which he doesn't have right now, because the offensive line, basically when they go up against a good defensive front, he's got maybe 2 seconds before he's getting pressured. And when he starts getting pressured, it's one read. If that one read is there, boom, you're golden. Anything else, he's probably not going to find it. And that right there leads to all the problems with the offense and how the offense can't get going. So then you have Taylor Lewan and Delanie Walker and others saying after the game of, you know, they're frustrated and it's been the same inconsistencies and this is what it's been like since I've been here. Well, it all starts up front because Marcus has never had the protection that he needed to have for him to play his game because he is what he is. In year five, he is what he is. Now, I asked the guys yesterday, and I'll ask you the same question. If you take the best offensive line in the league, which there's a few to choose from. I mean, Indy's pretty good.
Well, look at what the Colts are doing with a quarterback that we would say is fairly ordinary.
Yeah. I mean, right? Jacoby Brissett and Marcus Mariota are pretty similar.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have Mariota, honestly. I think he gives you more.
Right.
He's certainly got the mobility.
If you take the Colts offensive line and give that to Mariota, don't you think he's better?
Oh, I don't think there's any question that any quarterback benefits from better offensive line play. So they've got to get that fixed.
But how do you fix it?
Well, Lewan,
is it Keith Carter? No, is it the coach?
I'm not ready to go there yet. I do think it's a fair question to ask, but I think you got to give him more time for Lewan, who just got back. Saffold definitely has got to be a concern now.
He
has been
concern.
Beat one-on-one, and I'm not sure what deal is there. I mean, it's him. I mean, I don't know that he's not – it's not every now and then it's a stunt and stuff. It's communication with your tackle, but sometimes it's just straight up.
Well, they're not good
at
stunts.
You got the spin move on him.
Yeah.
The guy just beat him.
Here's the thing, though. Are you – you know, because if you break it down position by position on the offensive line, you paid Taylor Lewan a lot of money. Now – I think Taylor Lewan's still pretty good. I thought he was at his best under Russ Grimm, but I still think he's pretty good. He's a Pro Bowl left tackle. So paid him a lot of money, good there. You paid Roger Saffold at left guard a lot of money as a free agent. He has not lived up to that at all. So that right there, there's a strike.
He's got to be better.
The center, Ben Jones, you just signed him to a contract extension. Has he been spectacular?
Well, the line as a whole has not been good enough.
I know.
So I don't. I'm not
right guard has been a problem since the very beginning.
And we know the reasons for that, and hopefully Davis will be okay.
And you hope that the third-round pick
He's going to be up and down. He's a rookie.
Right.
He is not a guy that's just going to instantly go in there and play great. He's going to have his issues. So that's why you have to lean on the veterans on the left side.
And then the right tackle has been...
I like him. Now he's been
hurt. He's lost his confidence. Yep. Now he's been okay.
He got the holding penalty, which was a huge call in the game. They all can do better.
So my point is, to just kind of break all this down.
What you're saying is they've invested a lot in this.
A lot. Have you missed four or five times, or are you just not where you need to be in getting it all to work together?
I think it's cohesiveness. I think the talent is good enough to have
a
good offensive line.
Well, isn't that kind of a part of the coaching
duties? Well, but Davis just got there, and Lewan just got there.
Lewan was there throughout training camp. So
right, but he's been gone for a month.
I know.
And during training camp, smartly, they didn't play him with the starters. They had him playing with the seconds and the third. So the chemistry between the five was not developed that much during training camp because they had to prepare Kelly
to
play that spot. So I'm giving them some time there, but – it's definitely
if this looks this way 4 weeks from now, then I'm looking at possibly making a change.
But let's also, again, pull back and look at the rest of the league. Buffalo has got huge issues on the offensive line. They had five offensive linemen. They had guys, and they still found a way to scrape together two touchdown drives. And particularly right. The second one, after the blocked field goal, they go down and scored. That was one where that's another one where the Titans are sitting there going, how do we lose both of these games at home on our field? Part of the answer is the other team overcome their shortcomings. They had two drives of consequence, right? The whole game. Score touchdowns on both of them, right? If the defense can find a way. The defense in the red zone has not been that great. They've given up too high of a percentage of touchdowns. They've got to find a way to not let a very ordinary offense, a below-average offense, score twice on touchdowns in the red zone. If it's 10-7 and not 14-7, it's a much, much different situation down the stretch of the game. So there's so many. So it's the defense not being quite elite enough to overcome the shortcomings of the offense. Every team's got shortcomings that they have to overcome.
Yeah, and this defense is really good, but they're not good enough to cover up.
Right.
That's where
I think they can be better.
I think they can, especially in the red zone.
The red zone is the one thing. I think they've played They played five good games, but they haven't played a great game.
No.
Right? But now, against the Falcons, maybe you could say that's closer to great. They got some key stops at key times.
Would you say, though, that the defense has gotten a tick better with each game?
I like the defense. And listen, if they can get Jeffrey Simmons back later, there's some speculation that could happen.
That he could practice next
There's
week
another weapon that maybe is there down the road. I think the defense can keep getting better. So they're not done.
Right.
Right? There's a long way to go in the season. It's just a high frustration level right now with the whole thing.
Yeah, there is.
All right, let's sneak in one caller before the end of the hour here. Terrence, welcome to the show. You're on 102.5 The Game.
Yes. I'm listening to you guys, and no one's talking about, we're talking about Taylor Lewan, we're talking about the offensive line. We're not realizing that if our field goal kicker makes those kicks, that's 12 points that could have been added with the 7 that the Titans score. If we have those 12 points, we win that game. It's a different
100%.
Conversation.
100%.
Yeah. So, why aren't we talking
Listen, they if he made the one field goal in the Colts game,
right?
They could have won that game, right? He missed one in that game. So,
Terrence,
you're right. You're right. It's another unfortunate thing that happened. Their kicker got hurt.
Yep.
And they had that, do we carry two kickers? Like, I don't know, Ryan Succop, if he was eligible to come off the injured list right now, could he come out? He's on injured reserve.
Yeah, so, I think.
Like, he was kicking in the preseason. Like, that was when they had to gauge.
I think he just needed a few more weeks, but they needed the roster spot, so they had to put him on IR, designated
to return. And Terrence, you're making a fair point, but you want to be good enough that it doesn't come down to a missed kick.
Delanie Walker should also catch that ball.
Well, there's a lot of them. There was two or three throws into tight windows where it's a catchable ball,
right?
Where they're not making the catch.
So Terrence,
the throw is a little bit off. There's always that. That's what I'm trying to illustrate. It's so close between winning and losing in this league. They could be, and this is the thing that is a trap. They could be 3-2.
They
could even
be
4-1 if all the little things went their way.
And I agree.
If they made all the kicks,
yeah,
right.
Because I agree with Terrence, but there are some other things they could have done to prevent
right.
that.
So. But so you're right. You can't. You're frustrated, Terrence, but trying to keep it in perspective, they're close to where they want to be, and there are some things out of a coach's control. The coach can't control. You can just put them out there. You got to make the kick, right? It's like Delanie Walker said. So fair point.
All right, thanks, Terrence.
When we come back, we'll start looking towards David Poile. We're here at the Sobro entrance in Smashville, Pete and Terry's Tavern. Stay tuned. Hour number two is coming up.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.